Franklin Miller, my colleague and special assistant to the President for Defense Affairs, joined Stafford. Frank squeezed my bicep. Guess I'm working for you today. What can I do? With him was a member of his staff, Marine Corps Colonel Tom Greenwood. Can you work with Brian? I told Miller. Figure out where to move the President. He can't come back here till we know what the shit is happening. I knew that would not go down well with the Commander-in-Chief. And Tom, I directed at Colonel Greenwood, work with Roger, Cressy, on getting some CAP here. Fast. Some combat air patrol. Stafford had another request. When Air Force One takes off, can it have fighter escorts? Sure, we can ask, Miller replied. But you guys know that CAP fighter escorts, they can't just shoot down planes inside the United States. We'll need an order. Miller had spent 2 decades working in the Pentagon and knew that the military would want clear instructions before they used force. I picked up the line to the PEOC, the Presidential Emergency Operations Center. I got a dial tone. Someone had hung up on the other end. I punched the PEOC button on the large, white, secure phone that had 20 speed dial buttons. When Major Fensel got on the line, I gave him the first 3 decisions we needed. Mike, somebody has to tell the President he can't come right back here. Cheney, Condi, somebody. Secret Service concurs. We do not want them saying where they're going when they take off. Second, when they do take off, they should have fighter escort. 3, we need to authorize the Air Force to shoot down any aircraft, including a hijacked passenger flight, that looks like it's threatening to attack and cause large-scale death on the ground. Got it? Roger that, Dick. Get right back to you. Fensel was, I thought, optimistic about how long decisions like that would take. I resumed the video conference. FAA, FAA, go. Status report. How many aircraft do you still have as hijacked? Jane Garvey read from a list. All aircraft have been ordered to land at the nearest field. Here's what we have as potential hijacks. Delta 1989 over West Virginia. United 93 over Pennsylvania. Brian Stafford slipped me a note. Radar shows aircraft headed this way. I'm going to empty out the complex. Secret Service had a system that allowed them to see what FAA's radar was seeing. Stafford was ordering the evacuation of the White House. Ralph Siegler stuck his head into the room. There's been an explosion in the Pentagon parking lot, maybe a car bomb. If we evacuate the White House, what about the rest of Washington? Paul Kurtz asked me. What about COG? COG, Continuity of Government, was another program left over from the Cold War. It was designed to relocate administration officials to alternate sites during periods of national emergency. COG was also planned to devolve power in case the president or key cabinet members were killed. Roger Cressy stepped back into the video conference and announced, "A plane has just hit the Pentagon." I was still talking with FAA, taking down a list of possibly hijacked aircraft. Did you hear me? Cressy was on loan to the White House from the Pentagon. He had friends there. We all did. I can still see Rumsfeld on the screen, I replied. So the whole building didn't get hit. No emotion in here. We're going to stay focused. Roger, find out where the fighter planes are. I want combat air patrol over every major city in this country. Now. Stafford's order to evacuate was going into effect. As the staff poured out of the White House compound, the residence, the West Wing, and the executive office building, the uniformed Secret Service guards yelled at the women, "If you're in high heels, take your shoes off and run! Run!" My secretary, Beverly Roundtree, was on the line to Lisa, telling her that she and the rest of my staff were still in our vault in the executive office building. "Okay, okay," Lisa was saying, knowing she could not persuade Beverly to leave. "Then bring over the chem-bio gear."